The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, that's good to sit with you. So all that about non-ownership was not like me side-eyeing Sandra with the rental car break-in or something like that. Like, no, that was, I mean, not technically your car, and I'm sorry, but speaking in a different register here. Anyhoosers, it's good to be with you. And so today, moving through the paramis, only 5 days in the week, 10 days, 10 paramis, but doing what we can. And I talk about love often, and not infrequently get some real pushback. And not from the haters, but from sincere people for whom the word love has weird associations. And so let me just declare the top of the hour here that I am allergic to saccharine, sentimental Hallmark card love. I like my love adjacent to death, personally. At Christmas time, the in-laws like watched a Lifetime Christmas movie and played Christmas movie bingo, which was the first time I'd partaken in this particular pastime. But people get different like bingo cards, and you sit around watching the TV, watch like a Lifetime, you know, movie, a Christmas movie with your bingo card and a pen, and everyone has different squares, right? And the squares include these movies are they're it's so predictable that you can have bingo squares that routinely nail what happens in these movies, right? And the squares include things like romantic lead has sworn off love for good, implied that someone is actually an angel or Santa. City girl learns to love small town. Hot cocoa. These are the kind of squares. And I sit there like a kind of grizzled old curmudgeon, you know, and I just like rejoice in this profoundly cynical exercise. And it makes like a very, very bad movie incredibly exciting to watch, you know, reviewing my bingo card. That is not the love of which I speak. Dharma love is a love thoroughly infused with wisdom. And most teachers are, maybe it's not fair, but most teachers, the way it feel to me, tend to be love teachers or wisdom teachers. It's not that they don't have both, but tend towards one side or the other. And some are like truly a blend. And it's not like the blended characters are the most valuable or something like that. But for me, Michelle McDonald's one of those people where you really, you know, in sitting with her or listening to a talk, you really can sense actively the indivisibility of love and wisdom. And She says, loving kindness is what holds the universe together. It's the fabric, the universe. And you can say that it holds us so that we can actually face how things are. Without kindness, without care, without the appreciative joy, we don't have the strength or courage to be with things as they are. Without love, life is kind of hellish. And I use love in the broadest sense of the word, but the Buddhist cosmology includes like a hell realm that is utterly devoid of love. And in my moments of like deepest concern about our humanity's future, it's the dissolution of love that I'm picturing. When you become committed to love, it matters a little less how everything's going. Some ways it matters more, but also less. At least it matters a little differently. You still root for things to go well, but when they don't, you actually have confidence that there's a secure net to fall back into. When we know in our bones, I'm going to have to love my way through this moment, through this life, things actually change. And so we train in love. And so sometimes it's hard to know how deeply the love has been entrained until we get a fantastic opportunity for hate. And maybe we've had such moments. In samsara, this realm where suffering is endemic. Samsara is not utopia. There will forever be things to object to. There will forever be that which might be hated. And the truth is, even if we did somehow manage to find our way into utopia, we'd have to put our aversion somewhere. We'd have to start hating something. Because it seems like problems find us. The defects of the world find us. But sometimes that's merely illusion. And it, in fact, what the gestalt of it is that our pain is finding a placeholder. Non-hatred lies at the intersection of many, many Buddhist teachings. Letting go, hatred we see, we find this in our own circuits. Hatred requires that we hold on. Love is completely compatible with letting go. Renunciation, this theme from the meditation, the flavor of renunciation is quite alien to hate. We study the pain involved in aversion, become sensitive to it. We study sila, ethical conduct, and the indivisibility, goodness, happiness. No such thing as a closed-hearted happiness. Can pleasure, yeah, but deep happiness is foreclosed to those not living in love. This is Ajahn Chitto's idiosyncratic description of the Brahma Viharas of metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. Metta, willing. Something which comes forth is willing, it's offering itself. Karuna, compassion, senses something to be protected here, something to be protected. So it's quieter, spread over, strong, sensitive. Mudita, sympathetic joy, mingling, mingling. You can enter into something, play happily in it. Quality of swimming, body swimming, mudita in the water celebrates itself. It celebrates the medium. Doesn't matter who, where they are, we light up. Equanimity, serene stillness, still but not rigid, gently. The open wing of a bird when it's hovering, sensing the currents, turbulent or quiet, sensing it like the wing of a great bird spread over, hovering, wide span, equanimity. This is a malleable love, a love taking different shapes. Today, metta, this willingness, sense of offering itself. Metta, love in the face of goodness, love moved by goodness, love that takes the form of metta when we perceive goodness. And we come to become to perceive it so many places, become more sensitive to it. And the alternatives to love, namely apathy or hatred, they're it's just not they're not viable. And so we're kind of stuck with love. There are details to work out, but the path is very clear. There's a character in from Dostoevsky, famously said, "If God doesn't exist, everything's permitted." And I get that fear, but to my mind, it's almost. The reverse. If this life is all we have, if we are living in the blink between the two halves of all the time there is, love makes even more sense. And we discover the necessity of love in our nervous system. It's not an idea. It's not some moralistic vision. It's not Hallmark card love. We really find it in the circuits, the kind of architecture of our nervous system. We discover sila, ethical conduct, non-harming. Nervous system. It's not an idea. And so in a way you can say like we discover love as the highest form of hedonism. Offer this for your consideration and wish you all a good day. And we do keep out an eye for the opportunities for to notice goodness and to rejoice in it. So I wish you all well. Have a good day. See you tomorrow.